In State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli's February review of the governor's budget proposal, there is a warning about an effort to restrict his office's ability to review certain state bond issuances and concerns about other borrowing practices. To explain what Governor Hochul is trying to do and why it matters, all while keeping the listeners from dozing off, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by Maria Dulles, the Deputy State Comptroller for Budget and Analysis. Welcome back to the show, Maria. You think you're up to the challenge?
I hope so. Let's see. Let's see what happens.
Well, let's start with the comptroller's powers as it relates to bonds stemming from income tax collections as well as sales tax revenue. What's the governor hoping to do there that has Comptroller DiNapoli concerned?
The state comptroller has the authority to review debt issued by public authorities and local governments, but specifically state public authorities that are done on a negotiated basis, meaning instead of kind of offering the debt publicly and having folks bid, the seller works with underwriting banks directly to negotiate the terms and sell the bonds, right? And so for debt issued for state purposes through these public authorities on a negotiated basis, those bond issues come to the comptroller for terms, what's known as term and conditions review and approval. The job of our office is to really be a second set of eyes and look at those deals and ensure that the cost that will be ultimately paid by state taxpayers in the cases of state debt are reasonable and appropriate. And so that is the lens through which we assess these deals. And we look at any number of conditions to do that. The interest rate, how long the debt is, and particularly the way that it is structured. And I think folks understand this from their own life, right? If you were going to purchase a home and you wanted to take out a mortgage, you know that the rates on a 30-year are greater than the rates on a 15-year mortgage, right? We are looking at things like how long the debt is, the interest rates, and any facets of that deal that would suggest it's reasonable and appropriate. And so the governor's proposal would really constrict our ability to do that significantly and would limit us to looking at only very, you know, certain discrete provisions when these deals come to our desk.
Well, has the state actors involved here given the comptroller's office reason to believe that they're not capable of striking good deals? Have there been years of bad deals that have required the comptroller's office to say, no, don't do this? Or for the most part, has the comptroller found that these negotiated deals are typically in the best interest of New York taxpayers?
To sort of step back, I mean, we see a lot of deals and there is a lot of debt that the state issued that is done responsibly, right? In that it is structured according to what are widely accepted best practices, meaning it's done under in a 30-year window. It's done using level debt service so that, you know, we don't have people in the future burdened too unreasonably with the costs, right? Maintaining what we know as what we call intergenerational equity. And we don't defer, you know, the principal way into the future again. So that, it's structured very reasonably. And we see deals like this all the time and we approve them because they adhere to these best practices that are widely accepted in the muni market and, you know, in public finance. We have noted in our office and our budget reports, both for some of the public authorities like the Thruway and the MTA, that occasionally they have done deals that have been done competitively that are extend the maturities and backload some of the debt. And we've written particularly about how that has caused complications for the finances. These poor practices have caused complications for the finances of these authorities that are, you know, we are witnessing as they manage their budgets today, right? I think most recently, there has been enacted in the state budgets a provision that was really rooted in the pandemic that would allow the state to do 50-year borrowing for transportation purposes on behalf of the MTA. Now, this was done in the fiscal 22 budget. And if we go back to that period, I mean, we're in, like year one of the pandemic. The MTA is very much in crisis. We've had a few relief dollars flow through, but not really the full extent of the ARP coming to the rescue at that time. And so the state had committed to supporting the MTA's capital program, but there was a real concern about the MTA, with the heavy impact of the pandemic on both its ridership and revenues, being able to go to market and to issue debt for its capital plan on a cost-effective basis, right? And so there was a decision made in that budget for the state to take on this borrowing, but there was an exception enacted to state statute, the Debt Reform Act, which governs borrowings in our state, that said, well, the state can do this on a 50-year basis. And what has happened is that the state has issued debt on behalf of the, to support the MTA, and it has done three borrowings in 3 years under this statute that's re been reauthorized annually, where it has extended these maturities or the life of these bonds beyond 30 years, to the impact of collectively across these three bond deals, costing taxpayers $1.2 billion more across the life of these bond deals relative to having done a deal according to best practices. And so, we have been very concerned about that. And when there was such a deal that came before us, could not agree to approve such a deal.
Well, before we move on, let me reintroduce you for listeners just joining us. This is the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Maria Dulles, the Deputy State Comptroller for Budget and Analysis. So the March report from the Comptroller's office argues that the result of some of these practices you've been talking about is nearly $1.2 billion in increased costs while providing relief of less than $78 million. When you put yourself in the shoes, though, of the state officials who have headed us down this pathway, is this the only viable option they've had for some of their borrowing, or were there other choices that could have been made that wouldn't have been as costly?
Well, I think there are definitely other choices. And I will say, this was a temporary authorization that's been renewed, right? This ability to do this extended borrowing. The state, as our budget report says, right, the state is now in a much different position than it was during the throes of COVID, right? It's stabilized fiscally. There's been good efforts to build up the reserves to record levels, both the rainy day funds and the general unrestricted reserves. The state is in a strong cash position, and that has allowed it actually to take some good debt actions. It's defeased debt, which has generated savings in the plan. It's also increased the amount of paygo, which eliminates the need to borrow in general. So this is, it's perplexing to take these actions while you're also doing some good stuff on the other end. And when you also have the cash position that allows you to be more responsible and to do take these virtuous actions on the other side.
But I guess what I'm getting at is, I imagine this is done to access money. So are there other ways to get at this money that would be less costly?
Well, yes, it would be to follow the best practices and issue the debt on a 30-year basis, right? Now, what that would do would mean that there would be marginal increases in cost during the financial plan period. But either way, the bond proceeds would be received and the MTA would be paid for the capital projects it needs, right? This seems to be done for some cost avoidance. That I think is, when you look at the relative numbers, 78 million on, a $230 billion budget across the financial plan period versus the aggregate increase in costs for taxpayers of 1.2 billion, it's really askew.
And you mentioned the financial plan period. What's the significance of that? I mean, my head immediately goes to this idea that the governor can then lay out a financial plan covering the next couple fiscal years that indicates the numbers aren't as bad as they might otherwise be. That's where my brain goes. Am I completely off base? Walk me through it.
It means that what, the debt service amounts appear lower for that financial plan period. Again, when you're talking a budget on the magnitude and size of this state's, these savings are really minuscule. And again, I mean, the state has been at the end of the fiscal year doing prepayments and defeasances enabled by its strong cash position. And actually, at the end of fiscal 24, just did a defeasance of or a prepayment of close to 4.7 billion that wasn't even planned for, right? So those actions can generate the same financial plan savings, if not more, than these poor debt practices.
And aside from the MTA and the Thruway Authority, are other authorities utilized to help facilitate this type of borrowing?
Well, this is something the controller has talked about a lot. Controller DiNapoli, has repeatedly talked about how, the state should be doing its debt through GO, right? Through general obligation bonds, and has been critical of borrowing via these public authorities. So, as a practical matter, most of the borrowing for state capital purposes is done through the Thruway, through ESD, and through DASNY, the Dormitory Authority. And so the state, these entities take on the debt and the state pays that back via appropriation. That's different from the debt that these entities like Thruway and MTA, conduct to fund their own operations, if you will, based on their own source revenues.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave this conversation there. We've been speaking with Maria Dulles. She is the Deputy State Controller for Budget and Analysis. Deputy Controller Dulles, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, and hopefully not too many people fell asleep.
Wake up, everybody. And for more Capital Press Room content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for the Capitol Press Room provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. Visit unionstrongny.org for more information.